If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Ezekiel chapter number 33. Ezekiel chapter number 33 tonight. It's one of the great chapters of the Bible. The first part of this is a text that you're familiar with. It talks about being a watchman, that we're to watch the souls of others, that we are to warn them. If we refuse to warn them, then their blood will be upon our hands. And if we warn them, then and they do not turn from their wicked ways, as the book says, that they'll be responsible for their own sins. And so you're familiar with that. But when we get down to verse number 30 is a text that I don't guess I've ever heard a message preached from, but I'm going to preach tonight from that text. Go ahead and turn this thing off, okay, if you don't mind. In verse number 30, the Bible says, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. And speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy word," but I want you to notice this next phrase, "but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them a very loving song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words," but notice this next phrase, he repeats it again. But they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them." Does anybody like talk radio? I like talk radio. I listen, matter of fact, I listen to very, very little music because I just like to hear people talk. And I listen to a bunch of different talk radio stations. When I want to listen to politics, I listen to a guy by the name of Mark Levine. Does anybody know who Mark Levine is? Now, I can only take him for a little bit at a time, and sometimes I turn it off, but he is very knowledgeable about history, and he's very knowledgeable about the Constitution and all of the political situations that is going on. And really and truly, if you listen to him, you can learn a lot about what is happening in our nation. But most of the time, I don't listen to him for information. I listen to him for entertainment. There's two financial guys that I like to listen to. One of them is Dave Ramsey. Many of you know that name. And the other one is a guy by the name of Clark Howard. They are both financial professionals, and they approach finance from kind of a different perspective. Dave Ramsey is get out of debt and have no credit cards or anything like that. Clark Howard says, you know, you ought to have at least two credit cards so you can so it'll help your credit score. So they approach finance from two different areas, and they're very knowledgeable. And I've learned a lot, but most of the time I don't listen to them for information. I listen to them for entertainment. I just like to listen to them. Now you're going to be shocked at this one, but I listen to Dr. Laura. Does anybody know who Dr. Laura Schlesinger is? She used to be on the radio. Now she moved to XM, and now she's on Triumph. But I just like to listen to her. I've listened to her on and off for a number of years. I've read several of her books. She's like psychotherapist, and she gives advice to the family and all kinds of situations in life. It's a call-in talk show, and it is just interesting. And I don't agree with everything that she stands for. I don't agree with all the advice that she gives. But I really don't listen to it for the advice and for the information. I listen to her for the entertainment value. I've told you this before, but I like preaching. I've always liked preaching. As a young man, when I was in high school, probably in junior high, I started just enjoying listening to preaching. I've listened to preaching all of my life, and on any given week, I will listen to 5 to 10, maybe as many as 15 messages. This week, I have listened to 3 messages on revival. I've started listening to a new guy by the name of Justin Cooper. He preached a couple of messages on revival. And then I listened to a guy that I've listened to for a number of years, Jack Treber. He also preached on revival. I listened to a guy by the name of Jason Geddes, who pastors in Oklahoma, and he preached a message on our words and how we should be mindful of how we say things. And it was really a good message, and I have to be honest with you, it was a really convicting message for me. I listened to a message that Dr. Ravi Zacharias preached at the Mormon Tabernacle in Sproul, Salt Lake, Utah, and it was really a blessing to me. I've listened to some messages this week that Brother Chris has preached, and I've listened to 2 messages that Cecile has preached. So I've listened to 10 or 12 messages this week, and that is just about normal. But here is the drawback to that. If I'm not careful, I am not listening to those messages for something that will benefit me spiritually. I can get to listening to those messages for entertainment value. Because I like all kinds of preachers. I like those that are really crazy and just crazy. I like to listen to that kind of preaching, not all the time. And I like to listen to those boring intellectuals. But if I'm not careful, I can listen to those not to hear something that will change my life and what God wants me to hear. I can listen to those messages just for entertainment value. When you go to 2 Timothy, and you don't have to turn there, chapter 4, Paul is writing his last words and he's giving his last admonitions to young Timothy. And when he tells him in verse number 2, he says, preach the word. And all of us are familiar with that. And he says, I want you to be instant in season and out of season. He says, I want you to preach no matter if they like it, if they don't like it, if it's good for them or if not good for them, Timothy. I want you to preach the word. And then he says, I want you to reprove, I want you to rebuke, and I want you to exhort them with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know what he's saying? Timothy, when you preach the word, it ought to cause change in the hearers of the word. Because when reproof comes and rebuke comes and exhortation comes, I want you to know it changes the way that I think. I enjoyed the message that Brother Seth preached this morning. I believe for me it was an encouraging message. It was an uplifting message. It exhorted my soul to live greater for the cause of Christ. But the Apostle Paul tells Timothy that there's going to come a time when people will not listen to preaching for life change, but they will listen to preaching for entertainment. Because here is what he says. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Timothy, there's going to come a time when they're not going to want the doctrine, when they're not going to want sound teaching. They are wanting somebody that is going to preach in a way that is going to entertain them. Preaching should never be for entertainment. I hope tonight when you have come to church, I hope you thought about, hey, I'm going to hear something from the Word of God, not from David Jenkins, but I'm going to hear something from the Word of God that will change my life in some way. It may be a small change, or it might be a great change. How can you know that you're listening to preaching with the right reasons? Let me give you some of these things. How about if you're not very committed to the things of God? How about if you just kind of hit and miss? And how about if you're hit and miss with reading the Bible and hit and miss with prayer? Hit and miss with church attendance? Hits and miss with giving? And then you come in God's house and God knows that and he lays on the heart of the pastor to preach on commitment. And it's not something that he's picking at you. It's not something that he put together. But in his study time, he got alone with God. And God put it upon his heart. And he got in the message. And he's preaching a message from God. And he preaches on commitment. And while he's preaching on that, and you're not committed, you say, amen. And when you leave the building, you say, preacher, that was a good message. But you're no more committed after you leave than before you came. That's listening to preaching by being entertained. Because when we hear from God's word and it speaks to our heart, it ought to cause us to make a change in our life. How about if I'm not a very good husband? Maybe I'm not a very good wife. Maybe I'm not a very good parent. And God puts it on the preacher's heart, and he preaches a message on marriage, and he preaches a message on parenting and those type of things. And maybe I'm not doing a very good job of that. And while he's preaching, the Spirit of God is speaking to my heart. He's touching my heart. But I make no changes in my life. I leave and I walk by the pastor and I shake his hand and I say, you know what? Good job, pastor. That was a great message. But I am still the exact same next week as I was this week. You know what? That's listening to preaching for entertainment and not for life change. How about if I've got bitterness in my heart? There's somebody that I just don't like. There's somebody that I just can't stand. And there's just a situation in my life that is going on that is causing me to have a root of bitterness. And because God loves you and because God cares about you, he places a message upon God's man's heart. And he stands in a pulpit and he preaches in the power of God. And while he's preaching, you know that the Spirit of God is convicting you. And you know you need to make a change. And you know you need to get that right. But all the time you say, I'm not going to. You walk out the door and you shake the preacher's hand and you say, good message, preacher. But that bitterness is still the exact same because there has been no change. You know what? You're listening to preaching for entertainment and not life change. How about if you never make sacrifices for the cause of Christ? I mean, you never do anything that is surrendering. You never do anything beyond the norm. You never sacrifice. And God puts it up on the heart of the pastor to stand and say, God has laid upon my heart this message. And he preaches on sacrifice and he preaches on surrender and he preaches on giving to the Lord. And you know in your life that you're just going through the motions. And the whole time the pastor is preaching, there is a conviction of the Spirit of God upon your heart. But you say, I'm not changing. And when you leave, you shake the pastor's hand and you say, good message, pastor. And nothing in your life changes. You know what? You've gotten to the point where you listen to preaching for entertainment and not for life change. You say, how in the world does that apply to the text? Because that is exactly what is taking place in Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 30. When you study the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1 through chapter number 24, Ezekiel is preaching a message of repentance to the nation of Israel. He's telling them, God has put upon his heart, hey, you've got to repent, you've got to turn back to God, you've got to forsake your wicked ways, you've got to come back to the true worship of the Lord, you've got to forsake all of your idols. But they refuse to do so. And so God sends them into Babylonian captivity. Ezekiel is prophesying and giving his message at the time of Daniel, and he's a contemporary of Jeremiah. And the thing about it is, Ezekiel is giving his message to those that have been taken into captivity. They have already seen that the word of God is true. They've already seen that the message of God is true. Jeremiah said, you know what? If you don't return, if you don't turn, God is going to destroy Jerusalem. And at the end of chapter number 24 and 25, that is exactly what takes place. God destroys Jerusalem. These captives have seen that. They have seen the message that the prophet had been preaching, the message that the prophet had been giving. They saw it firsthand as coming true. You would think that would cause them to make a radical change. What? You would think that hearing the man of God preach the message, hey, you must repent, you must turn, you must come back to me, and then they see the consequences of not repenting and you would think that, hey, they would stand up and say, oh God, we repent in sackcloth and ashes. But that's not what's happening. Let's read the verses again. Verse number 30. He says, they Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people are still talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. They're inviting others. They're in a town square, and there are others around that are not coming to the temple, and they're saying, hey man, let's go to the temple. Let's go to the sanctuary. Let's go hear the man of God. Let's go hear what the word of the Lord is. Notice verse number 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words. They're not antagonistic against the word. They're coming. They want to listen. They want to hear. They want to hear what the Lord has to say. They hear it. But notice what they do. They won't do it. And then you go on in verse number 31. It says, for with their mouth they show much love. Hey, good job, Ezekiel. Man, Ezekiel, I love that message. Ezekiel, man, you're a great preacher. Ezekiel, man, you have the power of God. Ezekiel, you're preaching the word of God. They are patting Ezekiel on the back. They show him much love. But their hearts goeth after their own covetousness or after their own way. Boy, we love that preacher. Ezekiel, man, we sure do love you. But we're not going to do what you ask us to do because we're going to do our own thing. Notice how they describe his preaching in verse number 32. It says, and lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words. Hey, Ezekiel, man, you've got great ability to speak. Just listening to you speak, we're in awe. It's like listening to a beautiful song. It's like listening to someone that has great talent on an instrument. Ezekiel, man, you are entertaining us. We just love to listen to you. We hear what you say. In the last part of verse number 32, but we're not going to do it. We know what you say is probably right. But we're not going to do it. I want you to hold your finger there because we're going to come back and I'm almost through, so don't get scared. But I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter number 5, please. Matthew chapter number 5. Because here's the thing about this. Is you know that this is one of the greatest sermons that is ever preached. And the greatest preacher that has ever preached is preaching this message. Man, I'm telling you, as I studied this week, there are all kinds of great things. He starts out because you know what? Most people want to know how that they can live a blessed life, how they can be happy in their life. And so verse number 3 down through verse number 12, he gives us the Beatitudes. He says, hey man, if you want to live a blessed life, if you want to live the kind of life that others will envy, here is how you do that. He goes on in verse number 2, verse number 21 and verse number 22, he talks about anger and he says, you know what? Man, if you're angry with your brother without a cause, shall be in danger of the judgment. All of us get angry at one another from time to time. There's not a one of us in here that has not been angry at somebody in their life. Jesus says, hey man, if you are, you need to take care of that. He goes on and he talks about reconciliation in verse number 24. He says, you know what? If you've got an ought against a brother, you ought to leave the altar, you ought to leave the church service, and you ought to go make things right because it's important that you are right with your brother. Verse number 27 down through verse number 30, he talks about morality and adultery and those things, that we should live a moral life. Verse number 33 down through verse number 7, he talks about being truthful. He says in verse number 37, but let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. We live in a generation that nobody wants to speak the truth. We listen to our politicians, and the only time they're lying is when their mouth is moving. And we think, hey, it's no big deal. It's just what they do. But it's still wrong. It's wrong when we lie to one another. God says, hey, be truthful. Let your yea be yea and your nay be yea. Nay. He talks about loving those that don't love you in verse number 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I'm telling you, that's tough right there. There is only one way that you'll be able to do that is through the power of God. You come to chapter number 6 and he's still preaching up a storm. He talks about giving our alms and when we do charity and those type of things, it shouldn't be done so others will pat us on the back and say, man, look at what a wonderful person they are. He says, hey man, do your alms, do your charity, do your giving so no one knows. That goes against human nature, isn't it? Because, man, when we start doing things for others and we start giving money, we want everybody to say, man, look at what he has done. Verse number 5 and verse number 6, he talks about prayer. And he talks about the prayer that is the most important is not public prayer, but the prayer that is most important is secret prayer in thy closet, he says. Verse number 16 through verse number 18, he talks about I believe sacrifice, and in the case he's talking about fasting, but I believe he's talking about giving up something to serve the Lord. Verse number 19 through verse number 24, he talks about money. Then he says, no man can serve two masters, verse number 24, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then verse number 25 through verse number 34, he talks about worrying. All of us worry. All of us go through times when we worry about what is going to happen. And God says, hey, don't do that. Just trust me. Just follow me. Just put your faith in me. And if you will do that, then I will take care of all of those things. You know what? We need that message from time to time. And then when you come to chapter number 7, verse number 1 through verse number 5, he talks about judging one another. There's not a one of us in here that has not been guilty of those things. And then in verse number 7 through verse number 11, he talks about prayer again. And verse number 12, he talks about how we relate to others. He says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Hey, treat others the way you want to be treated. That's convicting. And then he goes on in verse number 13 and 14. He talks about the kingdom. He talks about there is a broad way and there is a narrow way. But I want you to notice, I've given you all of that because I want you to notice how he concludes this sermon. Verse number 24, therefore. Because of everything he has said in chapter 5 and chapter 6 and in chapter number 7, everything that he said before that, he says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and what is those next two words? Doeth them. He says, I liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and what are these next three words? And doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, when Jesus got through with his sermon, he said, a wise man is someone that will not just listen to me for entertainment, but is someone that will take these very words and apply it to their life and cause life change. He says, you know what? If you do that, you're wise. But if you don't, you're foolish. I was reading an article this week, and I'll be done. It was kind of a company-wide meeting. It was a motivational type of meeting. But the title of the article was this, Change or Die. And they were talking about how things in life change and how we are resistant to change a lot of times in our life because we just get comfortable where we're at. The CEO of John Hopkins Hospital was a speaker there. And he came up and he began to talk about how heart disease works and how heart disease takes over the body and how many times you have to have bypasses and you have to have stents and you have to have atrial fibrillation and those type of things. But he says, you know, many times after we do those surgeries, we sit down with the people and we say this: you have to make a radical change in your diet and your exercise, or within just a few months or maybe just a few years, you are going to be right back here or you are going to die. He says, I'm an authority on heart disease. I'm an authority on all of these things. I've given my life to the study of this discipline in medicine. And as an authority figure, I'm saying, if you don't change, you will die. How many do you think, or what percentage do you think will make that change? 10%. 90% of all of those, he says, that hear those words, change or die, within 2 years have made no changes in their life. I've dealt with a lot of people that's had those same things, and the vast majority I know make no changes. But you know, ultimately, that's what this book says. Change or die. That's what Seth preached on this morning. And you know what? When I come into God's house or when I read his word or when I hear a message, you know what I want to know? I want to know something that I can change about me that makes me more like him. You read that last verse. In that last verse, verse number 33, Ezekiel, basically God says, you know what, Ezekiel? That my judgments are going to come, and he says, they are going to come. But here's what they're going to know, that there was a prophet among them. Everything in this book is going to come true. And I'm telling you, my friends, it's important that we approach the preaching and we approach the word of God by saying, God, what do you want me to change about me? Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. And God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Ezekiel. And Lord, tonight I've been in church all of my life. And God, so many times I just go through the motions. I come on a Sunday night not to get something from your word. I come because it's something I've done all my life. It's just what I do on Sunday nights. And God, many times on Wednesday nights, I'll come into this building. And if I'm not careful, I'll not have an open heart to what you have for me. Because it's something that I do every Wednesday night. But oh God, I ask you tonight, would you soften my heart? God, would you open me in such a way that every time I approach your word, I'll say, oh God, what do you have for me? What do you want me to change? And most of the time, it'll be very small. What others might seem is insignificant, but every once in a while, they're big things. God, I pray that you'd touch our hearts tonight. God, I pray that before we leave this place, we'll all say, change my heart, oh God. Make me ever true. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed?